It's Marketplace Tech for January 19th. I'm Mark Garrison, in for Ben Johnson in New York. Hundreds of thousands of Americans are headed to Washington for the inauguration of President Trump to witness, celebrate, or protest it. One of the highest-profile examples of the latter is the Women's March on Washington Saturday. And it's bringing new attention to an emerging kind of mobility, crowd-powered buses. Sheehan Song is co-founder of Rally, a tech platform that connects riders with transportation to big events. Anti-Trump protesters aren't providing a lot of business right now. Sheehan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mark.
So the Women's March on Washington is the hot route right now, but you also get people to sporting events, concerts, and more. Explain just generally how Rally works.
We are a technology platform that matches individuals to their local charter bus companies, right? In the country, there are 4,000 local bus companies that collectively own 40,000 vehicles. So on average, 10 buses each. They don't have the digital marketing or the apps yet, and that's where we fit into play to interact with consumers and make sure that they're matched with their local companies.
So what is the typical trip? I mean, how long is someone coming? How long are they on the bus? How does it usually work?
We go typically from anywhere from 5 miles, like, for example, Miami Beach. All of the hotel concierges know about us, and we send them to the Dolphins game every weekend. So it could be a short trip, but it could also be really long. For example, with the Women's March on Washington, if it's this bucket list once-in-a-lifetime event, then people are definitely willing to travel across the country. So for the Women's March, we have people coming from Florida and Maine, Minnesota, Texas, Louisiana, all over the place. They're traveling 24 hours straight through and then straight back.
And how many people are using Rally to get to the march so far?
So far, we've confirmed 40,000 riders.
And so that's a lot of Trump protesters. Was there interest also from Trump fans who are going to the inauguration?
Yeah, you know, we try to be an agnostic platform.
Sure.
So we did offer buses to the inauguration as well, just like we offered buses to the DNC as well as the RNC conventions. But there's been definitely more interest from the Democratic parties.
So whether we're talking about car sharing, ride hailing, transit apps, where do you see this kind of bus sharing service that Rally is offering? Where does that fit into the larger conversation about making getting around easier and better for the environment?
Yes, absolutely. A lot of the recent innovations have been about how people move around within city limits and how individuals move around. And we call that personal mobility, right? What we have defined is what we like to call community mobility, or how groups of people move. And a lot of times these buses are also suitable for long distance travel, for intercity travel, kind of under the radar because maybe it's not as sexy, but it's definitely a very big part of our national infrastructure and how people move.
Okay, Sheehan Song, co-founder of Rally. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Mark.
You've probably heard about President Obama commuting the sentence of Chelsea Manning, who previously faced decades in prison for releasing sensitive U.S. documents to WikiLeaks. Getting less attention is Obama's pardon of retired General James Cartwright. There's a tech angle here. The four-star general pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI in a leak investigation related to Stuxnet. That is the computer worm that sabotaged Iran's nuclear program. Much is unknown, but it's widely believed Stuxnet was part of a U.S.-Israeli-backed cyber warfare effort. Mars rover Curiosity recently found evidence of possible mud cracks. This tells us something about the history of water on Mars, which could tell us something about the possible history of life on Mars. Here to explain what's new is Nathan Bridges, co-investigator with NASA's Mars rover Curiosity mission. Hi, Nathan.
Hello.
So how big a deal are these new discoveries?
I think they're pretty important. We've known that water was present on Mars in its ancient history. But these are really very good confirmation that we had long-standing bodies of water like lakes, and then they dried up. And once they dried up, the mud at the bottom of the lake cracked, forming these cracks that we see in the surface.
So looking at these cracks and with some of the new information you've been able to gather, what does that all tell us about what that area might have looked like around 3 billion years ago?
Well, in some respects, it would be similar to Earth, maybe Earth in a desert, where it's dry, and yet you do have lakes. And as in a desert, sometimes the lakes don't stay year-long, but eventually these lakes dried up. We can't say for sure that there was life on Mars. Mm-hmm. But we do know that water is fundamental for the formation and evolution of life as we know it. The better we can understand that, as revealed in the rocks, ancient rocks that we look at, the better we can understand the possibilities that there could have been environments on Mars that were conducive to life.
Now, we understand that you don't drive the rover at night, and of course the Mars day is a little bit different than here on Earth. And you mentioned before we turned on the mics that you and the team sometimes have to work a Martian day. How does that work out?
When we were first getting started, we did live on a Martian day. The Mars day is about 40 minutes longer than Earth's day. So each workday of the week here on Earth, we would start it 40 minutes later. And you can imagine you could start out at a normal time, say 9 a.m., but after a few days, you're working quite late at night. And so that was a challenging, albeit it was fun because everything was so new and exciting.
Okay, Nathan Bridges with NASA's Curiosity mission to Mars. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
You can now access 13 million pages of declassified CIA documents online. They were previously only accessible at the National Archives. Open government advocates fought to make them easier to see. The online files cover decades of wars and espionage. There's also plenty of oddball stuff mixed in, including UFO reports and even tips on making invisible ink. I'm Mark Garrison, and that's Tech on the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.